Motorcycle, Cocoon, Wiffle, and Untitled, Parts 35 through 38 of the Afarman Iowaverse by Shea Frotherden. Pairing Rodney McKay, John Shepherd. Read by Library Chick 94. Motorcycle. "Here," Rodney says, pushing John's motorcycle helmet into his hands. "Wear this and take this." He pulls a ragged $20 bill out of his pocket, balancing Mary on his other hip, ignoring how she's pulling at his earlobe. "So that you can get gas if you need it, or water, or, I don't know, a suspicious hot dog from a vendor in Decorah. Anything you want. Just no alcohol, but you know that. You wouldn't do that anyway. Yes." John blinks lazily, helmet in one hand, 20 in the other. The kitchen's full of morning sunlight, and the table's covered in toast crumbs and smudges of jam. Some are outside, Finn's yelling at pirates. "What?" "It's just, you never get a chance to ride her anymore," Rodney says, pink around the edges, hair disheveled and standing on end. "That's if she's a her. I don't mean to assume. I shouldn't. What do I know about bikes? But anyway, your bike. You don't get to ride your bike very much. It's all cars and trucks, and I just... shopping for a bigger car, Sunday, it made me... it was also respectable, and you're not. Really. Respectable, that is." He's full-on blushing now. "I'm not," John says, smirking a little. "I hope not," Rodney confesses, and Mary claps her hands, crows delightedly as if she gets that one of her parents is a disreputable handyman with what many would consider a thrill-seeking character flaw. "So I should just..." "Ride," Rodney says softly. He shrugs, looking baffled and fond, then smiles at his own confusion. "I just take the morning and, you know," he rolls his eyes, "just..." John's chest gets tight, and his words run for cover, so he's a little rough when he grabs Rodney by the back of his neck and pulls him in to kiss his forehead. But Rodney looks proud as John pulls back, as if that was the reassurance he needed, that he gets where John's coming from, has his back, knows his number, and John grins at him, shakes his shoulder a little maniacally, kisses him on the lips, kisses Mary, who's drooling and smells of oatmeal, grabs his jacket and heads for the door. God, his bike! "Have fun," Rodney shouts, and John laughs a little, joy singing up from the soles of his feet, that he has all of this. A family, a home, a bike, a belonging, a back 40 pasture full of scurvy landlubbers hiding from the crown. And as he climbs onto the bike, he takes a breath, rubs a fist over his heart, and only then can ease out onto the road to speed beneath the edges of a morning that's silver with quiet, the world holding its breath, shouting out, finally, as he bends his body to the pavement's curve. The end. Cocoon. John's nose is cold. October is still offering up a fair wash of heat every day, warming the world gold as the soybeans ripen and the last of the corn dries high noon yellow in the fields. But night's turned crisp, as if the tumble from September to October snagged frost in its grasp, and with the windows open overnight, their bedroom grows chilly by morning, sharp with the sense of fall. John loves it, loves the way his face grows cold, loves the contrast with the cocoon of warmth he shares with Rodney beneath the covers. Sundays are best. Sundays like this, they can linger, burrow, trust their son to sleep off a too-late Saturday bedtime while they huddle together, quilts and blankets heavy above them both. John loves the way Rodney snuffles as close as he can, face tucked into John's neck or his armpit, arms flung around him, loves the way Rodney drapes himself all over John without a modicum of shame, loves ducking his face beneath the covers and nosing at Rodney's hair, his temple, sometimes his cheek, making Rodney squirm and grumble, "No, it's cold," and he especially loves kissing him till he's half awake. Which is usually when Finn arrives, finds them smothered by blankets, flings back the sheets, and lets in a blast of cold air. Rodney shrieks, mumbles that he's a hellion and a throwback, and oh my god, it's cold, so cold, and makes Finn laugh maniacally, crawl in between them both, order Baffa to pull out the blankets up, and wriggle until he's comfortably ensconced with warmth on all sides. Rodney whines as a little elbow jams right into his jaw. "Shh," John coaxes. "Be shushing, Daddy," Finn stage whispers, and seals the sentence with a sloppy forehead kiss. "Mph," Rodney says again, but he sounds more amused than grumpy, and John reaches over to rest a hand on his hip. "We sleeping now?" Finn asks, monkey shoved up under John's unshaven chin. "We're sleeping now," John murmurs in agreement, kissing his son's hair, and they both drift off to the accompaniment of Rodney's whiffling snores. The end. Whiffle. They make it upstairs without any incident, John's hands steady on Rodney's back, Rodney yawning and barely managing to lift his feet high enough to climb each tread. Rodney's so sleepy that he can't really work out the mechanisms of his sweater once they make it to their bedroom, gets stuck inside it, and makes confused, helpless noises until John helps him pull it off. He emerges disheveled, hair stuck on end, and blinks in the dim light of their bedside lamps, grinning at John as he says, "Hi." John can't help but grin back, kisses his ridiculous mouth, and ushers him to the bathroom so that he can brush his teeth. John's pulled back the covers by the time Rodney returns. Boxer shorts hit tighter on one hip than the other, shuffling across the bare floorboards, eyes mostly shut. He flops face down onto their mattress and rubs his toes happily against the sheets. He mumbles, and John reckons he'll be out in about 5 seconds, so he's surprised to find him still awake when he comes out of the bathroom, dousing the light. "Go to sleep," John counsels, turning off the lamp on Rodney's side of the bed before padding around to his own. He lies down, scrubbing a hand over his face. "I was waiting for you," Rodney says. John offers, "Here now." "Here now," Rodney repeats, and flops unceremoniously over John's body, hooking a leg and an arm around him, wriggling until he's comfortable, then peering at John from one eye. "It's chilly," he observes, and John snorts a breath of laughter, sits up and pulls the comforter from the bottom of the bed, arranges it around them both, then settles back, Rodney scooching in again. "You are very warm," Rodney yawns, rubbing his nose against John's shoulder. "I like that about you." "Good to know," John whispers. "Also your elbows," Rodney hums. "I like your, elbows too." "Yes, yes, very important. Elbows and presents." John claps a hand over his eyes, laughing quietly. "Go to sleep, Rodney." "Sleeps," Rodney mutters, and he's out a moment later, going lax and heavy along John's side. "Happy Christmas, weird bastard," John whispers into his hair, and lies awake for a while longer, listening to the creaking of his weathered farmhouse, the silence of his family gathered in, the whiffle of Rodney's breath across his chest. He shifts his hips, hushes Rodney's mumble of protest, and closes his eyes, luck and grace a steady pressure around his heart as he slips from Eve toward Christmas Day. The end. Untitled. They wake to the dull roar of rain against the roof, an early summer squall pelting the house and the garden with a truly galling level of energy. No one's eager to get up. Everyone gets a little squirrely. Rodney can't find his pants, and Finn swears there's a monkey under his bed, and John doesn't seem to have a toothbrush anymore, and someone started singing Three Blind Mice, but it doesn't matter who since they're all at it 5 minutes after. It's John's morning for Finn Patrol, his turn to coax him through the regular morning hoops of face-washing, bed-making, and a running argument of some kind or another, because what's the act of getting dressed if not an excuse to turn your father's hair a little more gray? "Baffa," Finn whines, navigating the stairs. "We had this talk, buddy," John says patiently, staring Finn into the kitchen by way of a hand set gently upon his head. He idly wonders if there's any chance someone could harness the whining of an average 3-year-old and use it to solve the world's energy crisis. "You can go outside when it stops raining." Finn sighs with the dramatic flair he's been mastering for the last 4 months, and Rodney looks up sharply from his cereal bowl. He glances back and forth between Finn and John, cradling his bowl close to his chest as if he fears someone might try to steal his breakfast. "It's not so dumb a thing to fear in their particular brand of madhouse," John concedes. "What?" Rodney asks. Finn pouts, opening and shutting the trunk of his Hot Wheels Ferrari. John makes a beeline for the coffee. "What?" asks Rodney again. "Baff is mean," Finn offers. John rolls his eyes. "Told him he couldn't go play outside till it stops raining." "Well, that's sensible," Rodney offers. Finn sighs some more and shuffles a little for added effect. "You'll just..." Rodney gestures with a spoon, showering the table with droplets of milk. "Get soaked to the skin and catch pneumonia or trip and fall face down in a puddle and drown, and I'm..." "Against that," he finishes lamely. John chokes on his coffee. "Besides which, you'll get your clothes wet," Rodney says emphatically, and eats more cereal as if that settles everything. "Good job," John says, patting Rodney on the shoulder and wandering to the pantry. "You want some toast and PB, Finn? Cornflakes?" "We're out of cornflakes," Rodney clarifies, raising his voice. John scans the shelves. "Cap'n, oh, yeah, no, sugar, bad idea. Shredded wheat?" He wrinkles his own nose at that. The box is probably a year old, a remnant of the unfortunate month where Rodney's digestive tract turned bitchy and stubborn. "Raisin bran? Who the hell brought raisin bran?" He pushes things around. "Cheerios. You want Cheerios, buddy?" The screen door slams in reply, and John sticks his head out of the pantry, finds himself looking at the back of Rodney's head in a distinct absence of kid. "Did he just..." Rodney lets his cereal bowl clatter to the table. "He took off his clothes," he says, gesturing helplessly toward the jeans, socks, and shirt piled by the kitchen door. John crosses the room and yanks the kitchen door open, ready to let loose with the sort of yell he swore he was never again going to employ once the military was behind him. Instead, he gapes, then presses his lips together in a valiant attempt not to laugh. "What? What?" Rodney asks, rounding the table and coming to stand beside him. "Is he..." His words grind to a halt. "Jesus!" Finn's running rampant through the deluged backyard, clad only in a pair of red rain boots and an overlarge cowboy hat, a gift from Laura that Finn adores in roughly equal proportion to how much Rodney hates it. With a blood-curdling yell of joy, he jumps feet-first into the biggest of all the puddles, splashing himself and everything in a 5-foot radius with muddy water. John pushes open the screen door and steps out onto the porch, giving up the ghost and allowing himself to grin. "Hey, puddle jumper," he yells above the noise of the rain. "Come back in here." "Svan Baffa," Finn yells back, running hell for leather through more puddles, getting dirtier every second. "I see that," John shouts, and turns his head to look at Rodney, who's clearly trying to work out where his jeans fell short. "We should go join him. You'd love it." Rodney gapes. "Are you insane? It's pouring. It's cold. It's..." He gestures wildly, as if to take in all the other obvious but unnameable things the morning's turned out to be. John quirks an eyebrow and clatters down the porch steps, jumping in a puddle near Finn and dousing him in mud. Finn screams with joy and takes off in the other direction. "At least he's naked!" Rodney yells. "We're not doing that in front of the kid!" John shouts back. Rodney flushes bright pink. "That's not what I meant!" He ventures out from beneath the shelter of the porch, shivering and grimacing as he walks down the porch steps. "We have lost it! This is madness! Goodbye, Nobel Prize!" "Daddy!" Finn shrieks happily, and runs clumsily to Rodney, clasping him in a hug, arms around his knees, smearing dirt and water up Rodney's khaki pants. Rodney shakes his head ruefully. "You're a menace," he offers weakly. Finn beams at him. "Come play in the puddles!" "Play in the puddles, I ask you," Rodney repeats, huffing. But Finn's already taken his hand to tug him further out into the yard. "Svan!" Finn giggles and jumps in a puddle to demonstrate. Rodney wipes mud from his eye and throws John a look as if the whole thing's his fault. "You can shut up," he sighs, standing there, looking rakish, soaked to the skin, looking hotter than anyone has a right to, while I just wrinkle up like a prune. "I like prunes," John murmurs, hooking a consoling hand around the back of Rodney's neck. "That says something terribly unflattering about me or your bowels," Rodney mutters, tilting his chin. "I don't know that I want to know which." "Should we talk about the shredded wheat?" John asks, low, licking rainwater from Rodney's jaw. "No," Rodney whispers tremulously. "Didn't think so," John murmurs, smiling for a fraction of a second before he kisses him. "Kissing!" Finn yells, running up and down the yard, waving a rock he's picked up from who knows where. "Use kissing!" Rodney breaks the kiss, laughing. "Oh, God, we're all doomed," he mutters, forehead against the wet fabric at the shoulder of John's shirt. "It's all right by me," John grins, and scrubs both hands through Rodney's hair, making it stick up in a dozen different directions. He cackles wildly before taking off up the yard, Rodney in hot pursuit. "War!" Rodney yells. "It's war, Shepherd!" Finn sits down in the middle of the yard and solemnly pulls off his boots. "My daddies are the bestest," he tells his rock, then takes off after them in only his cowboy hat, slipping and sliding in the mud. The end.